Good evening, and welcome to Good News Update from Living Compassion. My name is Dave. I am a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center, and this evening I am privileged to be joined by four other monks from the monastery who all have just returned from Africa. They've just been servicing our project there. Hey, gang.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Hey there. Hey, what I thought would be fun to do tonight is to hear from you about your favorite moment or your favorite thing that happened during the trip. But before we do that, Jen, I wonder if you'd be willing to set us up for that a little bit by telling us about the practice that you guys had while you were there at the end of the day.
Oh, sure. One of the things that we love doing is doing actual practice when we're there. You know, everything we're doing there is practice in the same way that everything we do everywhere is practice. But we thought it would be fun to make a kind of conscious connect the dots sort of practice. So towards the end of every day, often actually in the taxi ride on the way home, because it was fun to include Moyunda in it, we would start talking about what was your favorite moment or what were some of your favorite moments of the day. I think that was actually one of the most difficult parts of the day was to choose.
Picking out which one was the favorite.
Mm-hmm. And so.
And I remember, I heard you say that it really helped to reveal just sort of what you're up to there and give you the big picture and help you understand what you're accomplishing.
Yes, yeah, it definitely helps us to know what we're accomplishing and kind of sharing, you know, oftentimes we're in different areas of the property, and so, you know, maybe Skoya wasn't in on the stoves or Brian wasn't, you know, in on helping cook the meal or, you know, I wasn't participating in the videos that Alex was doing or whatever it was. So it was fun to hear the content and then also fun to hear from each of our perspectives, another way we phrased it was, how did you see practice show up today?
Oh, that's good. How did you see practice show up today?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. So from that place, how did you see practice show up on this trip?
Well, Dave, this is Sequoia.
Hey, Sequoia.
Hi, and boy, you know, it's impossible to narrow it down to one great moment. And I think overall it was, you know, conditioning would want me to believe that folks that live halfway around the world from me and live and appear to be an entirely different culture are really different from me.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the best part of the whole trip was finding out that that is a big, fat lie. And it was just so wonderful just being with folks and seeing our similarities. And, you know, that just showed up everywhere, just in cooking meals with the women, playing with the kids. It was just, you know, there was just no separation. We were just all folks doing what everybody does everywhere around the world with the same, you know, desires and wishes and, you know, just great, good people.
Yeah, I'm projecting it's you're finding out how similar it is that you're all beautiful people. You're all big-hearted people doing good work, those kind of things. You know, finding out that you're similar on this, on a really kind of a beautiful level.
Yes, I mean, really, that was just the thing I was struck with over and over again, just the wonderful hearts of everybody everywhere. It's a good thing.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, and I understand. I've been there too, of course, and I understand exactly what you mean. It's astounding to think that we can go across the globe like that and meet our mirror in effect and find ourselves there in the form that conditioning would say is absolutely impossible.
Absolutely. So that was wonderful. Thanks, Dave.
Okay, great. Thanks, Sequoia.
This is Alex.
Hey, Alex.
I'm right there with Sequoia. It's very difficult to pick one. It would be easier to pick what was the least favorite. And that would be challenging.
Because there's not many of those.
No, not many. Not many at all. I would say, now, there are several. Let's see. Well, let me choose this one, because there's something around the stove project that I project Brian might bring up. So I'm going to bring up one that... it was around Castle Lodge. There was a group of USA NGO folks there. They were all doing their own project, teaching people how to make shoes. And I I we were there at breakfast time and found out that we had a couple things in common with them. One is that they're from Asheville. And
oh, no kidding. Wow.
No kidding. And their favorite place in the world is Carmel, California. What are the chances?
That's amazing.
Yeah. And what they said that morning was that they were looking for industrial sewing machines. And Jen and I were there, and Jen went, we know that. We've been there and done that. And so it was fun because, you know, she tried to describe where this place is that they sell the sewing machines, to describe it to them so they can go check them out. And we were trying to figure out, it's across from this one place. They've got like potted plants or something like that in front of it, and couldn't figure it out. And so we asked Mayunda if he knew where this place was, and he said yes, and tried to describe it to them. But as we were driving out, we ran into the taxi driver for this NGO group, and Mayunda, out of his own free will, he just pulls over next to that car, and he starts describing to the taxi driver where that store is so that he can drive those, the taxi driver can take those folks over to that place. And I was just so moved by the fact that he would, do that. And it just really, for me, it symbolizes the kind of help that is available when we're just present and open-hearted and want to do good for others and, just want to see other people succeed, because, you know, a lot of what plays on at Castle Lodge is the news, and they don't have things like, you know, people doing good things for other people.
it'd be easy to talk about that as Mayunda is doing practice in his way also. You know, he's just right there, present in the situation, wanting to help out, wanting to make whatever contribution he can make, just like all you guys were.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, that's just a miniature version of like a lot of things that I've seen him do around the place as well. You know, just really on it, you know, even from the reporting that he's doing in there, and just seeing exactly what's needed and assisting wherever's necessary.
Yeah, and I'm sure that could extend to all of the folks over there who are working hard on the project. I remember a story from the blog where the gang were asked, what do you think? Can we expand the feeding program, feed more kids? And the answer was overwhelmingly yes, with lots of exclamation points. So it sounds like kind of everybody involved has that same attitude in mind, and that's why the project works, I betcha.
Exactly, exactly. It's that big yes, that's funny that you mentioned that, because that was one of my favorites as well, being there with
mm-hmm.
a group of women just said yes, we can
mm-hmm.
feed extra children.
That's neat. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Dave.
Hey, this is Brian.
Hey, Brian.
Just one thing about the feeding program was, I think what we got to was that Foster was actually going to just take on the whole 300 herself. That's the level of enthusiasm she was operating with.
That's great. Yeah, it's inspiring, isn't it, to be with those folks?
Mm-hmm. My favorite moment was definitely about the stove project, because when we first got the materials, it was kind of late in the day, and it was a little challenging getting the guys moving. And, you know, I projected that there was a lot of, you know, this is going to be hard. You know, we don't have enough time. We, you know, just kind of that same process that I think we all go through, where just kind of every excuse possible not to do the thing we know we want to do is being brought to bear.
Yep.
And as soon as they got going, they just really started cranking along and, you know, seemed to be making some good strides. And we left, and we came back. I'm pretty sure that was the day that we came back early. And pulling up into the property, you could hear the hammering coming from, appropriately enough, the Hammermill building. And I was just super lit up excited, just because, you know, it's just like, they had no way of knowing we were coming out early. We hadn't said anything, and there they are, right, bright and early in the morning, just really hopping on it.
Yeah,
and,
what usually happens with that process, I think, is, you know, we throw every excuse at the book at it. You know, here's all the reasons why I don't want to do what I really want to do. But then once we get past that, we get lit up, and we catch the energy of the project, whatever it is. We start having fun. Easy to imagine that's what happened for those guys.
Mm-hmm. That's really what I project onto them, is that they realize that, you know, this is something they really wanted to be involved with. They were really having a good time with it. And every time we went out to the property, they were out there working on that. And, you know, I remember kind of everybody taking kind of leisurely lunch, and the guys were just kind of hanging around after lunch and whatnot. And then once we got them started on that stove project, they ate, they went right back out there. You know, they were taking 20-minute lunches after that.
Yeah, that's neat. And I happen to know, you didn't share this because it has to do with you, but that when they were kind of holding back a little bit, you just grabbed a 50-gallon drum, picked up, and walked over there and started going to work, and that's what got them all going.
Yeah,
so it's real good modeling of practice there. It's like, no, we're not going to believe those voices. We're going to get to work. We're going to make this thing happen.
Yeah, I think fear of the Mazungas ruining all the good supplies was greater than the fear of it actually being hard to get started.
That's funny. Cool, great story. Thanks, Brian.
Cheers.
So, Dave, I realize we're right up against the show, aren't we?
Yeah, that's okay. I bet we could take a minute to hear from you.
Yeah, well, I'll do a quick one, and also to tell people that we're writing these up for the blog. So the blog is essentially complete, and I think the last one is posted, but we're going to, because we had so much fun doing this practice, we're going to write them up and post it as a kind of bonus blog, so watch for them there, and I'll be giving one of them away here, which is, it was early on in the trip, it was a favorite moment, and it really continues to be a highlight for me. I look at it a lot. So we were sitting in a meeting, and Ethel, who is one of the women who's HIV positive and just has this unbelievable cough, began coughing again. And I looked over at her. She was across the room from me, and I just had this wave of helplessness that kind of washed over me, thinking, gosh, what can we do for this woman? You know, she's on ARVs, but she doesn't eat enough because she doesn't feel well, and you know, there's not fabulous nutrition out there. And, you know, just all the cards are, the deck is stacked against her just in every way you can imagine. And it just suddenly occurred to me, there's absolutely something I can do. And I stood up and I walked over and I said, would you like a glass of water? And she kind of looked at me and she said, yeah, I can get it. And I said, no, no. So I went out, I got her a cup of water, and I came back in and I handed it to her. And just the biggest smile came across her face. And it was fun because my colleagues later told me that they were watching her and just how touched they were by the look that came across her face. And I went and I sat down and I just thought, you know, she's still going to die, but so am I. And I just thought that those moments say it all. You know, just being present to each other in our humanity is just, that's the whole thing, and it's enough. You know, it really is. It doesn't need to be more than that.
Yeah, it's so true. That's very moving. You know, she's going to die, you're going to die, we're all going to die. And in between now and when that time comes, how about just as much kindness as we can bring to things?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly, which is what the entire project is about. A fellow sitting next to me on the airplane asked me, so what do you do out in San Francisco? And so I began to explain, and he was moved by it, and he sort of said, gosh, it must be so hard because there's so much to do. And I found myself saying that same thing. There is so much to do, but really there's only one thing to do, which is to love. And so that's what we do. We love.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and sometimes loving takes the form of hammering out metal to make stoves. Sometimes it takes the form of helping the gals do the dishes. Sometimes it takes the form of raising funds over here to help, you know, buy the mealy meal and the food for the kids. It takes all different kind of forms, but we're all doing the same thing all the time.
Yep, that's right. Holding retreats, going to Africa, mowing the lawn, cooking the meals, cleaning outhouses.
Yeah. It's all exactly the same thing.
Yep.
That's very beautiful.
Well, thanks, Dave.
All right. Thanks, Jen. I wanted to mention the blog, too, just because, you know, folks are curious, what is this stove project that Brian was talking about? Or, you know, what is happening with the feeding program? So check out the blog and check out the whole Africa part of the website. There's tons of information there. Some amazing, beautiful photos, and just kind of a good time. So just encouragement for folks to check that out. Thanks, you guys. That was really fun.
Dave.
Michael, passing off to you. Sorry we're a little late there.
Oh, no problem. It was very entertaining. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Mike.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm great.
I'm a little better after that good news update, I got to tell you.
Yes. Yes.
It was. That was fun and inspiring as always. Although I will say, you know, we do this a lot, and we admit to doing it a lot.
Uh-huh.
It's always the best trip. It was always the best retreat. It was always, but you know, this one did seem to be really special in a lot of ways. So those blogs are inspiring, and hearing those folks talk about what was accomplished in particular. You know, it's true. I mean, we've been going there for a long time, and we've been building, but it just feels like we kind of hit this tipping point where things are really accelerating and coming together, if we can have both of those images in one sentence.
Yes, indeed. It's fun for me because I remember early on in the project, you know, there's talk about healthcare and education and employment, and it's interesting how the employment piece of it kind of comes together out of possibility, and I'm thinking about the stove project in particular, about paying attention, seeing how it works, here's an opportunity, let's take the next step, and it all kind of unfolds like this beautiful flower.
Yes, yes, and bringing it back to practice, you know, for me, that's the experience of life when we're present with life.
Yeah.
Something opens up, we say yes to that, it expands, we say yes to that, it grows, we say yes to that, and suddenly there's something there that in the beginning we could not have possibly imagined. And yet it's then, at that point, just the obvious next small step.
Yes. Yes. Very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry, I have some announcements here.
All right.
There's a new email class beginning in just a few short days.
There is.
Starts on Friday, April 1st, and people can register on the website.
And I know we've been sending out a lot of information to folks about this, but just to be clear, in case somebody's hearing voices that say, oh, well, I already did that class. Actually, you didn't, because this class is happening with two tracks, one for people who haven't done the work and one for people who did the first go-round and are now ready for a little review and taking the next steps.
Great, and I'm hoping I can do both tracks if that's an option too.
You certainly may. Actually, whether somebody is doing it for the first time or they're continuing, both tracks will be available. I encourage people doing it for the first time to do their track first, because that really is the foundation of the whole thing. But, yeah, people are willing to slide back and forth and participate in all of it.
Great, great, great. Sherry, you'll be at Malaprops Bookstore in Asheville, North Carolina on May 8th at 5 p.m.
That's it. It's one of my favorite places. I think it, I don't know. I get confused about these things, but I think it might have been the very first bookstore I ever gave a talk at.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be in Rhinebeck, New York, May 27th to 30th at the Omega Institute.
Yes.
And folks can register through Omega for that.
A beautiful, beautiful place. If somebody hasn't been there, it's a great spot.
Great. And then back to California at Big Sur at the Esalen Institute for Spirituality and Business. You'll be co-leading a workshop with Mark Lesser, and that's June 10th through 12th.
Yes. We can only hope that the roads are going to be open by then.
Oh. Have they been washed out?
They have.
Washed out,
mudslides.
Wow.
Yeah. So that community is kind of struggling, so we can send them some. But the good news is no one has been hurt.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah.
Good. And then you'll be back at the monastery for Not What But How. That's July 16th through 23rd, Saturday through Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll be at Namaste in Felton the weekend of July 29th and 30th. And this is a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
Yes, it is.
And that's a new date for folks who've been following along here. Moved from early July to later in July.
Yes.
And then you'll be back at Esalen for another weekend workshop in mid-August. That's the 12th through 14th. What do these questions have in common? And go to the website to find the questions.
It's a riddle within a riddle, isn't it?
Yeah. And we have some callers here.
Good.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sharon. Michael, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hi.
So I'm actually going to be out of town next weekend, which is my usual day, but so I was able to squeak one in today.
Very good.
Yes.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. So I received a tweet from you sometime in the last week or so, last few days maybe, and it said something like, what problem keeps coming up that vexes you, and what can you learn from it, or something to that effect? And what's interesting is, for a long time, what kept coming up was my lower back problems. And now, just in the last 6 weeks, I've, through a combination of a couple of different things, I'm feeling, my back feels way better, and I'm feeling stronger. I'm feeling stronger than I have in probably 20 years, even though I know I'm not at the fitness level I was then. I feel like I am. And
wow.
Yeah, it's been great.
That's a miracle, huh?
Uh-huh. Hmm. Yeah, they look great, huh? I had to comment on some toes there. It's been fabulous. And it's also the fitness stuff I've been doing has led to a little bit of overuse. I don't even know if it's an injury really, but overuse issues with my arches and my Achilles, and because I've been doing all kinds of sprinting and jumping and jump roping and everything else. And
we get a little a little relief, and it's easy to get carried away, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it is. And And now what I've been sort of dealing with is going back and forth between, oh, woe is me, just on the verge of, you know, exploding into the athlete that I am. Now I'm sidelined. And then at the same time, I can sort of see bull hunky. It's also it's really easy to go back into that one. And this sort of ties in, too, with one of the miracles that I had was a cranial sacral massage type therapist, which I'd never been to before, and I actually walked out of there almost pain-free. It was pretty remarkable. And all of my issues are on the left side, my left hamstring, my left hip, and my left lower back, and and she talked about how the left side is receiving, and what am I not receiving? And
I
took that from personally as what am I not accepting? And what I'm not accepting is, you know, being hurt for a long time I was not accepting my back, and that wasn't helping, and just the way it was, and then I think I've shifted into now I'm not accepting the fact that I've got this overuse and what that means and everything else.
Yeah, and Chris, when you look at it, do you suspect, as I do, that none of this was an accident? That the overuse was not just boyish enthusiasm? You know what I mean? So, karmic conditioning has you injured, as a way to torture you.
Yes.
Right? And then you go beyond that injury and quickly get talked into re-injuring yourself.
You know, yeah, that makes sense. I can totally see that. I can. And, well, yes, and I'm entering the confusion zone, but yes, I can see that, and it's also... conditioning would tell me that what I was doing shouldn't be enough to injure me.
Yes, right. Well, and it won't be in a year.
Uh-huh, right.
Right, right. But coming back from, you know, it's just one of those, it's just how we're programmed. So coming back from that length of time of having your fitness compromised, you can know, as you say, you're not from a fitness perspective where you were 20 years ago when you started down this injury path. So of course it's going to actually take you a while to build up to a level of fitness where you can once again pretty much do whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And no matter how fit you are, if you go unconscious and listen to the voices egging you on, you can still hurt yourself.
Yes, and I think the way I described it on this call was that I know I'm not as fit as I was 20 years ago, but I feel that like I am.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's that, you know, so that there's the mind, the head. The head is getting signals, I feel great. So now let's lose sight of the body
mm-hmm.
and just do what the mind wants to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is what goes on with people a lot, right? So
mm-hmm.
the mind is doing the eating. The mind is doing the drinking. The mind is making the choices for activity. And the body is just a kind of a dragged along without a lot of conscious attention or awareness, expected just to put up with whatever the mind has going about what it wants to consume, what it wants to do, what it wants to whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so the body is often paying the price for the unconsciousness or the greed or that sort of thing of the mind.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Yes.
Because, you know, if you think about, say, when you were younger, you might have had an alcoholic drink or so.
Uh-huh.
And you know it wasn't the body that wanted it.
Right?
Or right. when we eat food that we know is not good for us, it's not the body that wants it. It's the mind. And in the same way, the body doesn't want to push until it's injured, until it's exhausted. The body doesn't want to do without sleep. Yeah?
Right.
Yeah. So the whole point of this, of course, is that so much of practice is taking the body out of the realm of the mind and turning the body over to the heart.
Oh, I like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like the way you phrase that.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I'd never thought about that before, and I like the way that was phrased as well.
turning the body over to the heart.
Yeah, and that's really good because, again, with all of these things that we're looking at, for many, many people, the heart is one of the literal heart, pays a big price for what conditioned mind wants to indulge.
Mm.
So if we turn it over to the heart of compassion to take care of the body, then it's like, you know, now your body is of concern for you the way your children's bodies are concerned. You know, you want them to eat well and get enough sleep and get good exercise that makes them feel good.
Uh-huh. Awesome. Excellent. I was glad I was able to get this call in tonight.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how you rehab
uh-huh.
the injuries, you know, and then how the kind of program that you go on to take really good care of your body as you become really strong and fit.
Uh-huh. Yes, it will be. And it'll be something I can report back on in the future.
There you go. I'll be eager to hear. You know, years ago when I first started running, and I started running way late in life. I mean, I ran as a kid, of course, but then I was way, way up into the middle years before I started running. And when I did, this very athletic, competitive friend said, "Oh, that's great. Now you can run a 10K. And I said, "Actually, no. You know, I'm running for pleasure. And I want to be able to run on the last day of my life, even if I'm really old."
Uh-huh.
So no, I don't want it to be competitive. And, you know, which is another way of saying, I don't want to turn it over to conditioned mind to be in charge of my body's experiences.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, running is one thing I look forward to getting back to. I haven't done that in quite a while.
Mm-hmm. So, like the snail going up Mount Fuji, slowly, slowly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great. All right. Thank you very much,
Chris.
Mary. All right.
Thank
good night.
You. Good night,
Michael.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Music by Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hello.
What's going on?
Oh, just feeling super grateful for the practice, and just wanted to call in and join in on the fun.
Just do a little celebrating.
Yeah. I mean, this has been having some really hard times. Just ever since I signed up for the precepts retreat a couple months ago, just incredibly, like, everything's been amped up, you know, just sort of difficult, and just finding the practice just such a salvation.
Yeah, you know, I've been looking at that so much lately. It's not, even though we talk about it, not something that we are meant to notice, and that is what a campaign this stuff starts anytime we make a real move away from devoting our lives to it.
Oh yeah, I mean it's really clear to me that it would want me dead. I mean, literally dead. Like, just doing crazy, terrible things and suffering and suffering, just, you know, just attacking me. And so just finding it such a miracle to have this practice and to have, especially now with the mentoring and the recordings, because before I was just kind of being out and just get so frustrated and not know where to turn and then want to anesthetize and, you know, go unconscious. And now it's like, wait, no, you know what? What you're saying is a lie, and what you really want to hear, what you really need to hear is this. And it's just right then, as soon as I feel that, you know, these certain feelings, those puppet strings that conditioning is trying to pull, it's like, no, wait a minute. That's a lie. You know, you are telling me the exact opposite of what's healthy and good and loving and, you know, that kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I am so grateful for that practice. That particular practice, I'm grateful for awareness practice. It's true. But the recording and listening, because what the picture that I got when you said that is before this practice, this particular recording and listening practice, we could meditate and we could go to group, you know, get together with Sangha when we could, but there's a whole, well, and meditation wasn't necessarily any kind of a refuge, right? I mean, it's supposed to be and it can be, but when identification it really has one in its grip, then meditation can become kind of a little torture chamber. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of time in the day, in the week, in the month, where a person is just kind of on their own at the mercy of or being victimized by egocentric karmic conditioning and self-hate. And now, with the recording and listening, there's a whole level of in-the-moment, right-now support that's available to us.
Yeah, and it's all part of, like you'd mentioned before, like going on the offensive, you know, excuse me, just being on the lookout, you know, like it's just such a different perspective I have where I don't feel like, okay, now I got it or now I'm okay or now I feel good. I know now that it's a moment by moment. I need to be on the lookout for it, not letting it get me, you know, like, so it's,
yes,
it's fun, and it's fun, too. It's like I feel like a ninja or something.
Right. Yeah, with your little ninja mentor.
Right.
Prowling around looking for devils.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been so helpful. And then one other thing, I'd been real hurried and had just a super tough work day. But, so I came and just parked my car by a little grass, little field here in the city in San Francisco. And, you know, I'm from the country, so I really miss, you know, the rural, being out in nature and that kind of thing. But just this weekend, I went with the Audubon Society and did some birding. And Sherry, I didn't even know there were birds in the city. I'm like, I don't know where I've been, but I came here to this park, and there's these beautiful birds here. And I'm just like, I want to cry. It's so amazing.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where have I been?
Where have I been? There's all these beautiful birds and then I was gardening and realizing how that's connected, you know, and the insects and the. I was so silly, but it's just like, wow, where have I been? You know, thank goodness I'm here. You know.
Yeah, I'm right there. My particular thing is trees. I love birds, but my particular thing is trees, and they're just such an example of, to me, of the goodness that life is. You know, they're just always there, so beautiful, and you know, just taking care of us. You know, participating in the life cycle and providing food and shade and all of that sort of thing. And so it just going around, stuff is after you, and to look up and just see a tree and realize, you know, life is good and beautiful.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing I used to help me. I like, say I'm driving around doing work, I have to go here and there, I just focus on trees. I just like, oh, look at that tree. And I said, look for the tree. And it really helps.
And it's like friends.
The focusing
it's like
attention.
Friends every few feet.
Yeah, exactly. And I grew up near Sequoia National Park, and I go home all the time. So I feel that way, too, about these trees. I just, it's such a connection. And how, you know, the roots go down in the earth, and it's just, you can really do a lot of cool projections.
Yes. Yes, precisely. Great role models for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, anyway, thank you so much, Sherry. Just wanted to call in, and I listen to the archives all the time, and I hear people say, you know, that they make the commitment to call in, and I get so jealous, and I even, get, you know, I get mad sometimes. I get identified, and I thought, you know what, that's a lie, and what you really need to do is just join in and call. And if you don't make
there
the
you
call,
go.
So what? You know?
There you go. That's it. Just participate.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad you called.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I forgot to mention our guidelines of focusing on one topic in about 5 minutes.
Yes, which I hardly ever let people do.
Well, with the ideal comes the actual.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, I'll behave myself.
Very good. And we have another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Jodine from San Francisco.
Hello, Jodine.
Hi.
Well, I'm calling in after about 3 months. And I made the mistake last time I called of not deciding when I was going to call again.
Yes. And that's a mistake we can all recognize in a lot of places in our lives, right? So, not deciding when I'm going to sit again, not deciding on the next workshop, not deciding when I'm going to exercise. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, and hold on, I'm going to start my timer.
Oh, very good. Oh, that's good.
I'll tell you when it's been 5 minutes.
All right.
So there's something really interesting. First of all, to recap, I have been just under attack by karmic conditioning since about last summer. For my whole life, but...
Yes.
You know, I got into this kind of period of just having a lot of insights about how much control conditioning had over my life, and through the practice realizing that I actually make choices that allow that to happen, and that I can make different choices.
Mm-hmm.
I've called in as these insights were kind of rolling in, and then as ego was stepping up the battle and stuff. And I have to say that on stepping back from all of that, looking at last year, I feel like it was a victory for me. Like ego's chips were down because I don't know what happened. I just was stepping up, and not giving up in the places where ego would get me, really felt like I was against the wall, and then I would, give up. But then it was like, no, I'm not giving up. And so there's something going on that I've noticed is that, so more and more I feel like my primary relationship is not with egocentric karmic conditioning. It's my primary relationship is with my heart and my mentor, mm-hmm. and the incarnation, who is this person doing the best she can in every
mm-hmm.
life situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what I'm seeing is the relationships that I have with other people, or not even the relationships, but like moment by moment, the interactions I have with other people when I'm not in relationship with karmic conditioning are completely different interactions than I ever had before.
And so are you suspecting that most of the relationships or the interactions that you had previously were egocentric karmic conditioning interacting with people?
Yes. Like my conditioning was interacting with their conditioning.
Yeah.
And we were just playing out like scripts or something. And somehow, even though I found myself in different places and doing different things in my life, I felt like I was having the same relationships over and over again.
Yes. And now that you are able to step back from that karmic conditioning, relationships are a whole new thing.
So much, yes. And so many, like, I could pull some content from any part of my life and say that I'm seeing it here, I'm seeing it there, you know.
Uh-huh.
But that's just, you know, stepping back and trying to focus on process. It's like, oh, my gosh.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, like things that, like questions in my mind, like, why when I go to the doctor, does it always kind of come out? Do I always feel like, you know, blah, blah, blah when I come out of there?
Uh-huh.
You know, why when I go to work do I feel like when I'm done talking to my boss?
Yes.
And it's like, I guess it's because my conditioning was talking to my doctor. My conditioning was talking to my boss.
Yes, so every conversation, if it's from conditioning, is going to be the same. Because it only has one thing to say under those circumstances. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, you might have six or seven.
We're at 5 minutes, Jerry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. You might have six or seven aspects of you who would show up under those circumstances. But the odds are really, really good that you will, most of the time, show up in a particular circumstance as a particular aspect of conditioning. Yeah? And so that's what you get to see played out. So then when you're disidentified, when you're at center or more at center, you don't really know how the interaction is going to go. It's not predictable. It will, most of the time, be a surprise. Because it's never happened before.
Yes. Very much a surprise.
Yeah, and in that conditioned relationship, this is the part that I like best about that. It doesn't actually matter what happened. When a person is identified with conditioning, they're going to be told and they're going to believe that whatever conditioning is conditioned to, happened. So if conditioning says, my boss is blah, 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 whatever that is, then no matter what the interaction was, it's going to be through the filter of that particular conditioning, and it's going to get registered as that conditioned exchange, even though it could have been anything.
Well, and even it was something that was not what I'm being told.
Yes, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So if my story is my boss doesn't care about me, then my boss could be acting out of 20 different ways of being, but they would all be framed for me as, see, my boss just doesn't care about me, which is mind-blowing. When we catch on to how completely, when identified, we are projecting the reality we live in.
Yes, I know. So, and that's what I was saying about about choices and how I'm buying into it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can listen to that story walking out of the boss's office.
Yes.
And I can choose to believe it or not.
Yes. Yes. To listen to it or not.
Listen to it or not, too. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of my favorite reminders on my audio tape is that I can direct my attention. I commit to directing my attention away from listening to stories in my head ever.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes.
Like, you don't even have to hear the story. Yeah.
Isn't that liberating?
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I've just been having so much fun with all the surprises that I find out in my life every day.
Yes, yes, yes. When you're actually in your life and not
yeah.
in a conditioned reality. That's very good. See, we might have gone over 5 minutes, but I personally enjoyed the stew out of it, so I'm really grateful. Thank you very much.
Good. So did I. Thanks so much.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jody. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and we'll be back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Sherry, this is Grigsby calling from China.
Well, good morning.
Oh, thank you, and good evening to you.
Thank you. What's going on the other side of the world?
Let me see. Things are generally going really well for me, but in the last day or so, I've been hit by what feels like a wall of negative conditioning. And it shows me something I think that's really important to see. It shows me, in one way, to what degree I'm often feel like there's a part of me that's really dependent on having approval for other people in what I'm doing in my life.
Uh-huh.
And I feel very inspired when I receive that. But then on the other hand, there's a huge sensitivity to what my conditioning or some part of me perceives as disapproval.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been, I'm feeling at the moment rather hit by this perception of disapproval, and it really kind of opens up this, I guess I could say, this little child in myself that really felt disapproved of and couldn't believe in himself. So I'm kind of living in that space to some degree at the present time, which, of course, is a practice opportunity.
Yes, yes, it is. Painful, difficult, and an opportunity. So let me ask you this. Does it feel like you simply became him and therefore the world looks that way? Or does it feel like you actually, something happened in life and it evoked him or evoked that orientation to life?
I guess more of the latter. I mean, there's a certain external situation that set it off. And then, well, in a way, it is like the first. I become that person. But allows me to be with it in a different way is the awareness that comes from practice.
Uh-huh.
And also the willingness to practice working with that part of myself. And I've been using the record and listening to some degree with this.
Uh-huh. To be in a mentoring relationship with that little boy?
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it also... you know, it brings up the whole level of conditioned doubt when I hear the mentor speaking. And, you know, do I really believe this? Is this true? And I work with that with a record and listening as well. It's like just going down another layer. That's how it seems.
Yes, yes. So it's funny, isn't it, when we catch on to the fact that conditioning, self-hate, uses the same techniques no matter what's going on.
Right.
Yeah, so it's going to use the same technique to get you to question and doubt, to focus your attention on it and what it's telling you, whether it's external, in quotes, circumstances, you know, other people are involved in life situations, or whether it's something that, like the self-mentoring, that you're doing internally. It's going to try to get you questioning and doubting and unsure so that you're looking to it for information. Looking
mm-hmm.
to it, yeah, it for to frame the situation for you.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So what I see about the whole thing, not just this one thing, but it comes up in different forms from time to time, what's involved is making this shift to really feeling an allegiance and connection with my heart and with my center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, that's the process, I guess, that we're all involved on various levels.
Yes. Yeah. That again, with on various levels and in all kinds of different situations, learning to choose that deeper relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because on the deepest level, you know that there is a heart that is compassionate and kind and has your best interest always as the first priority, and that's there. There's a deep wisdom, love, compassion, kindness that is who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then
and
then of course we've gotten pulled into all of this. Well, but what about that and this and those circumstances and that and up into conditioned mind, and so that's the basic back and forth that we're doing And I can't remember where I was seeing this recently, is a teeter-totter. And, you know, when you first arrived in this incarnation, you were way heavily weighted toward authenticity. I mean, you were just a little, you know, plugged in right here. Everything is fine, responding to whatever goes on, little creature. And then as conditioning gets hold of us, the balance shifts. And after a while, it just feels like the only thing we are is that karmic conditioning. We don't even know that there is authenticity. You know, it's just not a part of the equation any longer. And then we practice and we get in touch with that deep authenticity, that wisdom, love, and compassion. And we practice returning to that, referring to that. You know, now I'm looking to that for information, for who I am, what's important to me, and what I value, and the balance begins to shift again, right? And then what we see is conditioning, self-hate, getting panicky, hysterical, as it's losing its its importance in our lives, and which is great for us, right? Because the more hysterical it becomes, the easier it is for us to see it, to recognize it.
Yeah. Well, I'm becoming a lot better now, I think, at recognizing it, and I'm really grateful for that.
Oh, yeah. And for knowing what is so for you. You know, even when we're in that place of, really, there's center? Are we sure? It seems a little far away at this point, you know, kind of a theory. But we do know that it's there, and we're looking for center. We're attempting to get back to ourselves, back in relationship with ourselves, back to the heart. Yeah.
Well, I really liked what I heard at the first part of the show on the Africa Project about the wonderful hearts of people. And because that's something that is just a gift in life. And I certainly experience a lot of that here.
Yes. Yeah. Once we recognize it, we can find it everywhere, can't we?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I often wonder whether it's that we are recognizing it or projecting it.
Uh-huh.
Not that it matters, but
right.
It's an interesting thing to wonder about.
Well, I've had the same question.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I'm recognizing it a lot more in my life these days than in the past.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
The work pays off. In any given moment, we can be made to question whether this is actually working. Is any change happening here? And then there are those moments where we get to see the difference that has happened, and we know that we are transforming.
Right. Right. Well, thank you so much for your words. Once again, I want to thank you. Okay.
Thank you for calling us. Thanks for keeping in touch.
Okay. Well, it's really valuable to make the connection.
Good. Yeah. It really is. All right. Thanks, Gracie.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Grigsby. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have about 5 minutes left here.
Perfect.
Time for another caller. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Wahoo! This is Sandy calling from Florida. I got on.
You sure did. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. I've made some notes because I knew it was getting late, and the first thing that I wanted to say was thank you for being there, and the voices told me I had absolutely nothing to say, I shouldn't call, and anything I said would be worthless.
So helpful and supportive.
very supportive.
Yeah.
But I'm very happy to say, in spite of those voices, I've signed up for this email class that's coming up. Not without some angst, though. I signed up for it because I was a flunky in the November one. I sort of dropped out and disappeared along the way. So thank you for giving those of us who needed a second chance a second chance. Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's that's one of the things that we can all notice about life, huh? Life just gives us endless chances. Oh.
And I noticed one thing, I wasn't really too angry or upset with myself, because one of the things I've noticed is that when I'm ready, it appears. And
yeah.
So I was able to forgive myself and just say, must be I wasn't ready then, because I was working with Jen, and she got all this stuff out of it. And as we were chatting about the class, I was saying, that isn't at all the same class I was enrolled in. It was shocking what she was getting and what I didn't even see was there. So I'm trusting that I'm in a much better space and ready to roll this time.
Very good, very good. And at least you'll be really primed for the information that comes at you that says, you shouldn't be doing this, or you're not getting it, or, yeah.
One would hope, since this is my second time around just with the email class, heaven knows how many times around I've been primed for that kind of story.
Well,
I also wanted to, go ahead.
Well, it's just that the first time, that's not what you were watching for.
Oh, it
isn't. And so this time, you know you got bamboozled the first time. So now you're going to be much more alert to that bamboozle process.
Thank you, and without a doubt I am. I wanted to share that I'm making a commitment to call once a month along with my Janine Roth program. I'm working with her Women, Food, and God program, and just absolutely finding the comparisons of the inquiry part of her program and getting myself disidentified to be absolutely amazing. It's just wonderful. When one of our persons who called in earlier tonight said, turn your mind over to your heart, I so could relate, because Janine often will say, you know, her philosophy is eat what your body wants, and she means eat what your heart wants, not what your mind wants.
Yes,
and
exactly.
So I try to keep that in mind. So
that's a
thank
good one.
You. It is.
Oh,
it's
you're,
a very,
you're very, very, very welcome. Yeah. And so you're going to be calling in once a month, so we get a little progress report on how you're doing in the class. So there's another little support and incentive.
Exactly. Yep, I have my little list of what to do every day, and I'm meditating, and I'm listening to my recorder, and I got my recorder all set up, and I'm recording, and I'm calling in once a month, so I'm ready.
You are on a program. You are bound to succeed.
I totally believe in everything you're doing. 5 years ago, I remember calling into the show because I was so depressed and so discouraged. My husband had had a heart attack, and I thought, oh, this is it. My life is over. Our retirement dreams are down the toilet. Everything is ruined. And now I've been retired for 3 years. We live in a lovely home, a great community, and I don't see how life can be any better. My husband is very healthy, and we're very happy. So Dave was on the phone that night, and he said, be open to the possibilities.
Yeah, yeah. We never know how the story will end.
I'm so grateful that I was open to the possibilities, and
yeah.
I always like to say thank you, because that really gave me back my hope.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Thank you for being there, Sherry.
Well, thank you. Take good care of yourself. Keep enjoying life, and we'll talk to you in a month.
Thanks.
All right. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sandy. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Thank you for joining us, Sherry.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's just a good thing that we're all here together, and then we got all those monks and the Sangha and everybody. It's
It's just a good thing.
You might conclude that all is one.
One could speculate about that.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So
thank
we'll
you,
talk again next week.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Good night.